Hello, hello, and welcome to another exciting episode of Skeptics and Seekers Sunday Sermon Shorts. I'm your host, David Johnson. As some of you might know by now, Tim Keller, one of the great apologists of our time, has died. He lost a long, arduous battle with cancer. And our thoughts and best wishes go out to his family. I just wanted to highlight how Christians deal with this sort of thing and how it differs from the way most atheists deal with this sort of thing. In some ways, Christians have the advantage because they can just wrap themselves in the cloak of fantasy, in the cloak of make-believe. I have often called Christianity a denial of death cult. It is very much that, and in some ways, it is an embrace of death cult. Because they pretend to embrace it. Because they believe it is not really a real thing, but just a portal. Death is a portal that takes you from here to your true happy place. And it's truly insane. And I'm sorry to have to talk about this way, but events like this just bring us to this place. This is what his wife said at a huge memorial service that was thrown for him in New York. Tim is with Jesus. Let me just stop you right there. How do you know that? I understand that that's your fantasy. Christians, you don't know who is with Jesus, even if there is a Jesus, and even if there is a heaven and a hell, you have no idea. You know how Christians like to equivocate when someone dies who was not, say, a member of the church or a particularly good person in some respect. Someone that you would think in their philosophy, in their theology, would be in hell. The more merciful of them, the more sane of them, will say something like, well, but God is great and merciful, and we actually have no idea. We have no idea. I would like to think that God found a way to save that person. Bravo. Bravo for saying that, for thinking that. But what you're really saying is you have no idea. And yet, when it's someone that you love, you have a perfect idea. Oh, he's with Jesus. He's definitely in heaven. There's no situation where he could be anywhere else. Because that's really what this cult is about. It's about giving you a pleasant fantasy that helps you hide from the Grim Reaper. Christians don't say that a person has died. They've moved on, passed away. They might say they're gone. We say they died. We're not afraid of the word. I mean, it's a nasty word, kind of, but we're not afraid of it. We have to deal with it. We have to deal with death. Tim Keller is dead. Your prayers for healing did not work. He is dead. Do not move to your secondary fantasy. But she goes on, Tim is with Jesus, healed. Oh yeah, he's finally healed because he wasn't healed here on earth. But she can say to herself, well, the prayers for healing really worked because he's healed now in our fantasies. He's healed, loved, more alive. Really, more alive. He's not dead. He's more alive and happier than he has ever been. Cool story. She said, keeping her tone conversational, having mentioned the headstone, she told a story about a headstone. How she gets uncomfortable in movies, at the end of a movie when someone is standing there at a headstone, speaking to the person who is deceased. And she says, no, that always makes her uncomfortable because that person is not there. I agree with her. That person is not there. There's a decaying body there. That person is not there. However, the person isn't anywhere else either. The person is dead. And so what you are doing here in church, you know, imagining your husband in heaven is no better than what someone at a headstone in a graveyard would do, imagining that that person is there. And she talks about her favorite passage that would be on the headstone. There are some other mentions. I'm going to skip through here to David Keller. This is indicative of how Christians fantasize about life after death so that they don't have to face death. They never have to face death. David Keller emotionally prayed, Heavenly Father, we are sad at the loss, but we take comfort in knowing Dad is filled with joy. Yes, that must be a very comforting fantasy for you. I don't want to rob you of that. But when are you ever going to actually deal with the fact that your father has died and he died horribly and that life sucks sometimes? He goes on. We ask you to meet us in our grief and remind us that your loving sacrifice on the cross and resurrection has conquered death. Again, denying death right in the face of it. Your father has died. It has not been conquered, except in your fantasy. He goes on. So that when you call us home, let me stop you right there, David. This is God calling someone home through months and maybe years of agonizing cancer. This is your God calling him home. If your God wanted to call him home, he could have just tapped him on the shoulder when he was in good health and said, I'm going to bring you home now, as opposed to sending you through the hell that is to come. That might have been considered calling him home. He could have zapped him up on the mothership and everyone could have celebrated. But no, he died horribly. And how do they translate that? Oh, this is God calling you home. So that when you call us home, we can joyfully say what he did. And what did he say, folks? I'm ready to see Jesus. Send me home. When your body is ravaged from cancer, eating you alive for months, you're ready to go. Just about anywhere. You're ready to die. You're begging for death. There's nothing courageous about someone suffering a torturous, lingering death saying, I'm ready to see Jesus. You know what would be really courageous? You, in your great health, you at the peak of your life, doing the best that you've ever done in your profession, having the home of your dreams, going on the vacations of a lifetime, it would be you at that time saying, I'm ready to see Jesus, send me home. It would be you teaching your kids to pray, I know this sounds sick, to pray, I'm ready to see Jesus, send me home. Nobody's ready to see Jesus because in their heart of hearts, they know that what that means is you have to die. But you will do anything, say anything to yourself and to your community to ward away ever having to think about death in an emotionally mature manner. So, another great Christian man has died horribly. I'm sorry about that. That is a part of the human condition. I have cancer in my family. If the other things in my health don't get me, I've got cancer to look forward to. So I'm not making fun of it. It's a son of a bitch. I've seen it. It's a son of a bitch. However, I understand that one day I am going to die. I do not have any fantasies about that. I do not have any fantasies about conquering it. What I do have is a drive to make every moment of life I have count, to make every breath I take count, to make every action I do count. And when I do a good deed, it is not like the Christian fantasy, as Jesus said, that you will get it all back. You know, if you've made these sacrifices of homes and family and so forth, you'll get it back 100-fold. I'm not going to get anything back 100-fold. When I do it, that is a moment of my life gone forever. And I still do it. It's not because I'm a great man. It's because I'm a human who is in touch with his humanity. And I understand what life is. And I understand what death is. And I encourage you to snap out of your fantasy so that you can better live every moment as your best life, so that when you die, you will be able to die your best death. That's all for today. Bye-bye.